Hey everyone, welcome in. We've got a great panel today.
Excited to dig into this one.
Same here. Some really fascinating stuff to unpack.
All right, let's dive into the first story. This one's about a new malware campaign called Void Geist. It's pretty nasty, using some clever tricks to deliver different remote access Trojans or rats. We're talking Xworm, Async Rat, and Xeno Rat.
Okay, rats are bad news, right? Remote access means someone else controlling your computer?
Exactly. A rat gives an attacker almost complete control over an infected machine. They can steal data, install more malware, even use your computer as part of a botnet.
And Void Geist is particularly sneaky because it uses what's called a fileless execution mechanism. Instead of relying on traditional executable files, it uses scripts and legitimate tools to run malicious code directly in memory.
Fileless? So like nothing to scan for on your hard drive?
Precisely. It makes detection much harder. Traditional antivirus software often relies on scanning files for known malware signatures. But if the malware never writes anything to disk, it can bypass those checks. A Penniman Institute report in 2020 showed that fileless attacks are significantly more successful than file-based ones, like 10 times more likely to succeed.
The attack starts with a phishing email that delivers a batch script. This script then downloads more scripts, a legitimate Python runtime, and encrypted shellcode.
Python, why Python?
That's a key part of the stealth. By embedding a legitimate Python interpreter, the malware becomes self-contained. It doesn't need to rely on the victim's system having Python installed. Plus, it makes the malicious activity look more like normal software using Python.
Then it uses something called Early Bird Asynchronous Procedure Call, AC Injection, to execute the shellcode. Basically, it injects the malicious code into a running process, in this case, explorer.exe. That's the Windows File Explorer.
APC injection sounds complicated.
It is. APC injection has been around for a while, actually. It's a technique where malicious code is injected into another process, like explorer.exe, and then executed when that process calls a specific function. The early bird part refers to injecting the code very early in the process's lifecycle. Duke 2.0 used it way back in 2015 to target Kaspersky Lab.
The whole process is designed to be modular. Each stage looks harmless on its own, mimicking regular administrative activity. It even displays a decoy PDF to distract the user while the malware is installing itself.
That's pretty clever, using a distraction like that.
Yeah, and for persistence, it drops a script into the user's startup directory. So every time the user logs in, the script runs again.
And notice, they're avoiding system-wide changes or intrusive persistence mechanisms. That's intentional, to minimize the forensic footprint and avoid triggering security alerts. They're staying within the user's privileged context, which is less likely to raise red flags.
Finally, the malware sends a beacon back to the attacker's command and control server to confirm the compromise. The researchers aren't sure who the targets are or if any compromises were successful, but the techniques are definitely concerning.
So, what can people do to protect themselves from something like this?
Good question. Because it starts with phishing, the usual advice applies. Be very careful about clicking links or opening attachments in emails, especially from unknown senders. Keep your software updated, use a reputable antivirus program, and consider using an endpoint detection and response EDR solution that can detect suspicious behavior, even if it's fileless.
All right, let's move on to the next article. This one's about the Iranian hacking group Muddy Water, and they're targeting U.S. networks with a new backdoor called Dindor.
Muddy Water? I think I've heard that name before. Are they a big deal?
They are. Muddy Water, also known as Seedworm, is a state-sponsored hacking group affiliated with the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence and Security. They've been active since at least 2017 and have been linked to numerous cyber espionage and disruptive attacks. In fact, the U.S. Treasury Department sanctioned some individuals associated with them back in 2019.
This new campaign started in early February, and targets include U.S. companies in various sectors, like banks, airports, and even the Israeli arm of a software company. That software company supplies the defense and aerospace industries. So that's a pretty juicy target.
Wow, that's a wide range of targets. What's their goal?
Likely espionage, data theft, and potentially disruptive attacks. Nation-state actors like Muddy Water often have different motivations than financially motivated cybercriminals. They're after intelligence, strategic advantage, or the ability to disrupt critical infrastructure. They're willing to invest more time and resources to achieve those goals.
The new backdoor Dindor is interesting because it uses the Dino JavaScript runtime for execution.
Dino? I'm not familiar with that. Is it like Node.js?
In a way, yes. Dino was actually created by the same person who created Node.js. It's a more modern runtime for JavaScript and TypeScript. The fact that Muddy Water is using it suggests they're adopting newer technologies to evade detection. It was only released in 2020, so it's relatively new on the scene.
They also found another Python backdoor called FakeSet on some of the targeted networks. It was downloaded from servers belonging to Backblaze, a cloud storage company.
So they're using multiple backdoors. That sounds like they're really trying to establish a foothold.
Exactly. It's a sign of a sophisticated and persistent attacker. Using multiple backdoors gives them redundancy and increases their chances of maintaining access even if one backdoor is discovered and removed.
The researchers also found evidence of data exfiltration from the software company using a tool called rclone to a Wasabi cloud storage bucket. They're not sure if the exfiltration was successful, but the attempt is concerning.
This sounds like a really serious threat, especially with the tensions in the Middle East right now.
It is, and it's not just Muddy Water. The article also mentions other Iranian-linked groups scanning for vulnerable Hikvision cameras. There's been a surge in exploitation attempts against IP cameras in Israel and Gulf countries. The Canadian Center for Cybersecurity even issued an advisory warning that Iran will likely use its cyber capabilities to retaliate against critical infrastructure and information operations.
The article also mentioned that Israeli intelligence agencies hacked into Tehran's traffic camera network to monitor the movements of Iranian officials.
That's a classic example of cyber espionage. It highlights the ongoing cyber conflict between Iran and its adversaries.
So, what's the takeaway here? What should organizations be doing to protect themselves from these kinds of attacks?
The usual advice applies, but it's even more critical now. Bolster your cybersecurity posture, strengthen your monitoring capabilities, limit exposure to the internet, enforce multi-factor authentication, implement network segmentation, and keep your systems up to date. Patching vulnerabilities is absolutely essential. And remember that social engineering is a key tactic for these groups, so train your employees to recognize and avoid phishing attacks.
Sounds like a lot to keep up with.
It is, but it's necessary in today's threat landscape. Okay, let's move on to our final story. This one's about CISA adding two security flaws to its known exploited vulnerabilities catalog.
CISA, what's that?
CISA is the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They're responsible for protecting the nation's critical infrastructure from cyber threats. The KEV catalog is a list of vulnerabilities that are known to be actively exploited in the wild.
Exactly. And when CISA adds a vulnerability to the KEV catalog, it means they've seen evidence of it being actively used in attacks. This time, they've added flaws impacting Hikvision and Rockwell Automation products.
Hikvision? I think I've heard of them. Aren't they a big video surveillance company?
They are. They're the world's largest video surveillance equipment manufacturer. The vulnerability in question is CVE-277921, and it's a pretty serious one. It's an improper authentication vulnerability that could allow an attacker to escalate privileges and gain access to sensitive information.
And it's been around for a while, right? I thought I remembered hearing about this one before.
You're right. It was initially disclosed in 2017. The fact that it's still being actively exploited years later highlights the challenges of patching IoT devices. Many organizations are slow to update their firmware, leaving them vulnerable to known exploits.
So someone could potentially hack into security cameras?
Potentially, yes. An attacker could gain access to the camera feeds, control the cameras remotely, or even use them as a foothold to compromise other devices on the network.
The other vulnerability is CVE-21-22681, which affects Rockwell Automation Studio 5000 Logix Designer, RS Logix 5000, and Logix Controllers. It's an insufficiently protected credentials vulnerability.
Rockwell Automation, what do they do?
They're a major player in industrial automation. Their products are used in manufacturing plants, power grids, and other critical infrastructure sectors. This vulnerability could allow an unauthorized user to bypass the verification mechanism and authenticate with the controller, potentially allowing them to alter its configuration or application code.
That sounds really bad. Like someone could mess with a factory's operations?
Exactly. Exploitation of this vulnerability could have severe consequences, potentially disrupting critical infrastructure and manufacturing processes. That's why CISA is taking it so seriously.
CISA is recommending that federal civilian executive branch, FCEB agencies update to the latest supported software versions by March 26, 2026, as part of Binding Operational Directive 22-01.
Binding Operational Directive, what's that?
BOD 22-01 is a directive issued by CISA that mandates federal agencies to remediate vulnerabilities listed in the KEV catalog within specified timeframes. It's designed to improve the security posture of the U.S. federal government.
And even though it only applies to federal agencies, CISA is strongly urging all organizations to prioritize the remediation of KEV catalog vulnerabilities.
So basically, if CISA says it's important, everyone should pay attention?
Absolutely. The KEV catalog is a valuable resource for prioritizing vulnerability management efforts. If a vulnerability is on that list, it means it's being actively exploited and poses a significant risk.
All right, that's a wrap on our news stories for today. Any final thoughts?
I'm definitely going to double-check the firmware on my security cameras when we're done here. It's scary how long some of these vulnerabilities can linger.
My takeaway is that cyber threats are constantly evolving, and organizations need to stay vigilant. It's not enough to just rely on traditional security measures. You need to have a proactive vulnerability management program, strong monitoring capabilities, and a well-trained workforce that can recognize and respond to threats.
Agreed. And remember, security is a shared responsibility. Everyone has a role to play in protecting themselves and their organizations from cyber attacks.